There's a strange version of determinism that you hear sometimes. The idea being that everything we experience is already determined by past causes and conditions. So we really have no genuine choices. What seem to be choices are illusory. So on the one hand, you have to accept the fact that everything is predetermined, nothing can be changed. We're just cogs in a big machine. But then they go on to say, the people who believe they're cogs in a big machine tend to be pretty depressed. So we should believe that even though we have no genuine choices, we should believe that we actually do have choices and try to make the best choices we can. This makes no sense. If everything is predetermined, how can you choose to believe or not believe that you have choices? If you can choose, that means that not everything is predetermined. If you can't choose, you have no choice. What's odd is this sometimes is presented as a form of Buddhism. That because the Buddha taught causes and conditions, it must have meant everything is predetermined. But that was a teaching that he criticized in no uncertain terms. Usually he would not go out of his way to get into arguments with people, but on one issue he would. The issue of whether or not you have choice, whether everything is predetermined. As he said, if everything is predetermined, then whether you're going to kill or not kill, steal or not steal, that's already been predetermined. And if you believe that you don't have any choices, then you're left unprotected, bewildered. Whatever urges come up, you can't say no. The whole story of his life was that we do have the power of choice. And it's important that we trust in that. As he analyzed the present moment, he said, what you have is potentials coming in from the past, and then you fabricate them into actual experiences of whatever aggregates you've got, whatever aggregates you're going to experience. So the fact that fabrication is involved in everything, intention is involved in everything, that means that we live by meaning. Because an intention always is, I'm doing something for the sake of something else. What you're doing means X further down the line. And what we really need is guidance in how to find good meanings for ourselves. This is why we have right resolve. You look at the world around us. People are like King Gaurabhya, you know the story. He's talking to Ratabala about why Ratabala became a monk. Ratabala is telling him the four Dhamma summaries. The world is swept away, does not endure. Offers no shelter, there's no one in charge. One has nothing of its own, one has to pass on, leaving everything behind. The world is a slave to craving. Now the king has been made to think about the fact that he's old, he's got recurring illnesses. He's going to die and have to leave everything behind. When Ratabala explains what it means to be a slave to craving. So suppose someone were to come from the east, someone you trust. He said there's a kingdom to the east. Got lots of wealth, lots of women. With your forces, you could take it. Would you take it? And the king says, of course. Here he is, 80 years old, being made to reflect on aging, illness, and death, and he would still go for that kind of thing. It would cause a lot of harm. Kill a lot of people, taking things that are not given, and yet he wouldn't care. Same with someone coming from the south, the west, the north, from the other side of the ocean. This is what it's like when people have no brakes on their resolves. Because we do create our present moment out of resolves. Gaurabhya was driven by greed. He was driven by, doesn't say anything about ill will, but he does have callousness. He doesn't care about the harm that his desires are going to cause. Nowadays, the world is being run by sensual greed, ill will, callousness, all of which are the opposites of right resolve. Our resolve is basically resolved on renunciation, looking for happiness, in ways that don't involve sensuality, non-ill will, you're looking for happiness in a way that doesn't harm anybody. You don't mean to cause anybody any harm. As for people who, from you have no ill will, but would be hurt by your ways of trying to look for happiness, you do care. You don't want to cause anybody any harm by your search for happiness. So we need meaning in our lives, and we need good meaning. We need meaning because we have to put a lot of energy into constructing each present moment as it comes. We know that we're putting effort in. This is why we have to have a sense of meaning. Otherwise, we get depressed. We don't want to put in any effort. And that just pulls us down. It's not the case that if you don't put effort in, everything just falls apart and that's the end. That you can wish for oblivion and there will be total oblivion and nothing more you'd have to do. You keep coming back, coming back, coming back. So a good meaning is one where you find a happiness that doesn't harm anybody, one that's totally satisfactory. And that's what the Buddha offers. Starting with right resolve, you develop powers of concentration. You try to find a happiness that doesn't require any conditions at all. Of course, the concentration does require conditions. You have to have a healthy enough body. You need certain requisites in life. But you're aiming for something that goes deeper inside than just the concentration. Something that is eminently worthwhile. Something that doesn't have to have a meaning. There's a series of questions given in the canon. What is virtue for? It's for the sake of concentration. What is concentration for? It's for the sake of discernment. What is discernment for? It's for the sake of release. What is release for? It's for the sake of nibbana. What is nibbana for? It's not for the sake of anything. You've arrived. You found something that doesn't have to be constructed, doesn't have to be fabricated. That's the point where you don't need meaning because you've arrived. Up until that point, you need a good meaning. You have to learn how to see how you're fabricating things, which is why we get the mind into concentration. We fabricate a state of concentration so that we can see this is what fabrication is like. You fabricate the present moment of the way you breathe, the way you talk to yourself, the perceptions you focus on, the feelings you focus on. You do this given the raw material coming from your past karma, which means that mastering concentration is going to take a while because the past karma coming into fruition at any particular moment will differ. So it's not always the same. But you learn how to ride the present moment, the way a surfer rides a wave. If there were only one wave, you could pretty much master it quickly. But waves change. So you learn how to master the skill of leaning left, leaning right, whatever is required. But you're conscious of the fact that you are putting things together. And when you see it clearly in the way you get the mind into concentration, you begin to realize you're doing it all the time. So you want to learn how to do it skillfully all the time, which is why the path includes not only right resolve and right concentration, but all the other factors. It's because they all have meaning. They all aim at a happiness that's totally satisfactory and totally harmless. So life necessarily on its own doesn't have a meaning. We give it meaning by the things we go for. And the Buddha is basically saying, give yourself something really good to go for, really harmless to go for, really satisfying. Because so many other things that we pursue in life take a lot of effort and then they disappoint. We find other things that we aim at and they disappoint too. We've been through this so many times that the idea of a totally unconditioned happiness begins to seem unreal. But the whole point of the Buddha's teachings is that you can give your life a good meaning and follow through and find total satisfaction when you get there. And then from that point on, he has nothing more to teach you because you don't need any more teaching. You don't need any more guidance. We need guidance in our processes of fabrication. But when you find something unfabricated, there's no need for guidance. You've arrived. And as I said, at that point, there is no meaning. There is no more fabrication that requires the motivation that comes from looking for meaning. But in the meantime, you have to take as your working hypothesis the hypothesis that the Buddha gives you in right view. That we really do have choices. Our choices really do matter. Now, you don't want to drive yourself crazy with the seriousness of this, which is why the Buddha gives you concentration, a place to rest and gather your strength, gather your resources, get nourishment inside. To keep working at this to do it well. That's another strange thing we see is the people telling us that Buddhism is all about relaxing. Don't take things so seriously. There's nothing to attain. You wonder why so many modern Dharma teachers hate the Dharma. The Buddha says there is nibbana to attain. It takes work, but he provides you with nourishment along the way. To have a clear sense of what the Buddha actually did teach, he taught a path. And the path has a goal. That's what it means to have a path. If the path didn't have a goal, he wouldn't have come up with that image, but it's the dominant image of his teachings. Very first teaching was about the path. Very last teaching was about the path. Actions that you choose, and actions that you choose, and they'll take you to a good place. Always hold that in your heart. Because that's what gives you the courage you need, the strength you need, to keep on making the right choices. Because your choices do matter. You can make a world of difference in the world by being careful about how you choose. It makes a big difference for you, too.